time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outloud. Well, I got good news, friends. This is the No Mueller Zone today. That's right, you come to the right place. No Mueller Zone. We do not want to talk about this. We do not want to pass go. We do not want to collect 200. We want to do none of the above, friends. We want to get on to some real news and things that matter to you and I. Let's start with Easter. And let me say this, Easter is hope, it's a love, and it's a rebirth of all that is life. And I wish you blessings. I hope that you'll be blessed. And I hope you'll bless others along the journey of life, friends. Well, it's a lot to talk about in the news here this week. Socialism is on the rise in America. We need to discuss that. We have a big segment with Dr. Jay Lehrer coming on today. And also this war on coal. What was the impact of our energy in America and President Trump? Do you know it's Earth Day coming up pretty quick here tomorrow? What does that mean? Well, they're saying our animal species are endangered and Earth Day, and it's climate change that is causing it. Also, the left's dishonest strategy to silence criticism with Representative Omar and her comments about 9/11. They were in your face in America, and we're going to talk about that. Also, what do you think about the significance of the rebuilding of Notre Dame, that cathedral, the historic symbol in France that burnt? Wow. A lot happening there. Let's get to the top stories, friends, here. I'd like you to welcome on two patriots here. Susan Price, she's an investigative researcher, patriot, a veteran advocate, and gold star mother. Jim McKay is here. He's a political analyst, commentator, and producer here at America Out Loud, friends. I want to start with real news, as we always do on Viewpoint. I want to talk about the border crisis, talk about what's really going on our southern borders. I think the northern border is also something we need to be looking at, friends, but that's another story for another day. So the question is this. President Trump does something remarkable. It was daring. It was a wow. What does he do? Well, he goes on and says, okay, well, the court wants us to keep all these people over here on our side of the border, not in Mexico. We don't have any place to put them. They're overwhelmed. The border communities are overwhelmed. The politicians down there that run these local municipalities are overwhelmed. The ICE agents are overwhelmed. Everybody is overwhelmed. It's an attack on the southern border. There's nothing manufactured about it. Right? You all know that. Everybody knows that. Even the radicals know it. It's all a game. It's all it is, people. Well, he comes out and he has a brainstorm. He wants to get all those people and bus them into sanctuary cities. Now, only President Trump could come up with that strategy, huh? Quite fascinating here. Jim McKay, wow, this was really something else to hear the president come off and say, well, you want more of this? Here you go. Have had it. What do you say about that?
I think it's a great idea. When you look at it, you know, Congress has done nothing, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, for the last 20, maybe even 30 years on handling immigration. Well, Pelosi comes out and says she doesn't want to have 5,000 immigrants dropped in her backyard. These people are hypocrites. There's no two ways about it. And he's calling their bluff. If you want Gavin Newsom, if you want another million illegal immigrants in your sanctuary state, I'll give them to you.
And he did. He said exactly that. Susan, what's it going to take for the United States Congress to move and come up with some solutions? Susan, they don't even have to be comprehensive. They can be simple solutions at this point to a crisis that impacts every neighborhood in America. What's it going to take?
Malcolm, in my opinion, the radicals forces that are within Congress, they are not working with Americans. They're working against us. So what's going on is we have militia groups down there on the southern border, and one group, United Constitutional Patriots, is helping Border Patrol. I mean, the Americans are taking it upon themselves to help support the president, because isn't it sad that the lawmakers are not doing it? They're the biggest part of social divide, political, racial, every kind of division. This has been a drug and trafficking war for many decades now.
Sex trafficking, human trafficking, children trafficking, people trafficking, yeah. Weapon trafficking. You've got drug trafficking. I mean, you've got all kinds of illegal, illicit activities happening here on the borders. And again, it's not just the southern border, it's the northern border. This has got to be, bar none, the biggest crisis and problem of our generation, friends, probably the last couple generations. I'm going to tell you right now, this is really what everybody should be talking about. Not you know who and that crazy report that is over the top ridiculous. This is a real problem. Well, while we're on politics here, I want to talk about the presidential race of 2020. It's hard to fathom we're talking about this, but we are. But Jim, right now it's about 24 and counting, I guess, roughly. I mean, could be 30, could be 50, could be 100 by the time we're done, Jim. Like I said, they're going to need a cathedral to put these people when we're all done to be able to do the race. Joe Biden says, the media says, actually he hasn't said it yet, but I think it was The Atlantic or a couple of publications coming out saying that he's going to enter the race next week. First of all, do you think Biden enters the race? What do you think about the field of people in there? And are there any serious contenders against Trump?
I don't think there's any serious contenders against Trump. Biden might be reasonably a good match, but not at all when you get right down to it. The rest of them, I mean, look at their polling 5, 6, 2, 3% of the vote. Bernie Sanders, who's not even a member of the Democratic Party, right, is the leader of the pack right now with about 20%.
Yeah, I was going to say he's got, what, 20-something, right, Jim?
Yeah, but I don't think any of them has the staying power to go up against Trump.
Susan, when you look at the field of Democratic candidates right now, what are the couple that come to your mind that could be a formidable candidate in 2020?
Well, I have been saying, Bernie Sanders is the biggest cheerleader. But the gentleman whose name we can't pronounce, he and Beto. But
Mayor Pete, they call him. That's what they're actually calling him. Buttigieg, they call him, or whatever his name. He needs to change his name, first of all. Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you something, Susan. And Jim, you too. I'm just curious. I know this may not come out right, but is the country ready to put a gay president in there? Now, this is a man who, they wouldn't be the first man, but who's married to a man. I guess if they're married, I don't know, but this should be.
I don't believe so. Personally, I don't.
That's a hell of a leap, isn't it? That leaps all kinds of boundaries there, isn't it? I mean, that would leap everything, wouldn't it? I mean,
yeah, he's not going to pick up a lot of the evangelical vote for sure.
I can't imagine.
Or most of middle America when you get right down to it. When you think about the entire LGBTQ community is less than 3% of the entire country, but you wouldn't think about it the way the mainstream media promotes them.
Right. No. I mean, like I said, and I'm not, you know, I'm fine with anybody. Their lifestyle is not my issue. The point of my question from a policy and news standpoint is, would the country do that? I'm not sure they're ready for that, quite frankly. I mean, maybe someday, someplace, I don't know. But it is a very interesting race, and it's growing larger and larger all the time. In fact, they're starting to have a lot of these town hall meetings, which I don't watch them. I don't find them a good use of my time. So I'm not interested in basically, for the most reasons, people, to be full disclosure, I'm just not interested in seeing socialists and radical Marxists and communists talk for 20 minutes or a half hour, an hour, or whatever they're giving them. I don't care whether they're on Fox News, CNN, or the Alien News Network. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not interested in those people. They just don't, it's not something I'm going to nominate or vote for in this country ever, not in this lifetime or the next 100 lifetimes. Let's move the ball along here, guys. And all right, there was another big story, big news item that you've heard very, very little about. In fact, I didn't hear really much about this at all, Jim, until you and I started talking about it, quite frankly. And that's this sting operation. As I was reading about it, Jim, this was an eye-opener, man. So doctors in 7 states were charged with prescribing painkillers for cash, sex, all kinds of things. Reportedly, 65 doctors and pharmacists, millions of pills, thousands of prescriptions, tens of thousands of deaths. You know, Jim, they spend more time beating each other up and talking about a couple of things here or there that may or may not matter. But here's a real catastrophe. Here's a real piece of news for you of what's going on in middle America. But yet, it's not. You can't even hear anything about this, Jim. What's going on?
It's crazy. You know, they did some polling. They said your pharmacist is the most trusted person in America. And when you say, and your doctor, I mean, who doesn't go into a doctor and trust what they're going to do for you?
That's right.
But here you have these doctors, they're handing out pills like gumdrops. They're making millions of dollars off of this. This is the thing that is so despicable. I mean, five doctors in New York earned over $5 million.
Yeah, it's a money machine. It's a money machine.
It is. It's a crisis of huge magnitudes, and yet the media was too busy with other things this week to really get it out there.
And Jim, isn't a lot of this money government money, Medicare money, and Medicaid money, and isn't this taxpayer money?
Sure it is. It's your insurance dollars that are paying for this. It's Medicare. It's money that's handed out to welfare people that are going spending it on drugs, the whole thing is despicable. I mean, it's just horrible.
Yeah. And yet these things, you know, Susan, it's greed, it's fraud. It's at its worst. It's at its core. It's evil. It's part of the fight of good versus evil, clearly, because anybody in their sane mind wouldn't do this. I mean, but greed has taken them over, or Satan's taken them over, Susan. But yes. what do you make of this scandal, Susan?
Really? Well, and I see Big Pharma's falling. Trump has taken them down too. Big Pharma and the insurance companies have given $65 million to 33 Senate Democrats
for
not backing Medicare. Every time you turn around, the radical Democrats have their hands in a pile going against Americans, trying to hurt and maim us, and it's imploding on them. Be sure you will see it fall within the next 2 years.
Well, big pharma is as corrupt as they could be. I mean, you know that, Jim.
Pharma has three branches: the pharmaceutical companies themselves, the legal institutions that are suing them moment by moment, and then the insurance companies who rake us over the coals for about 30% of every healthcare dollar goes to an insurance company.
And a lot of what you just spelt out is why healthcare has gone through the roof, Jim.
They ran up healthcare prices 17, 18, 20% annually during the 80s and 90s to where it is today.
Where the news is, Jim, but nobody's talking about it. I mean, think about it. This is where we should be talking about here. I mean, we can't even afford basic healthcare anymore, Jim. It's beyond the stratosphere. It's in the mega universes, you know?
Yeah, and ACA, which was supposed to be affordable healthcare, right, did nothing to reduce the cost of healthcare a penny. In fact, it increased it. There were 21 different taxes within ACA.
Well, healthcare is going to have to be a big piece of the pie coming into even the 2020 election and the next cycle of whatever happens in that general election. And clearly, but with this kind of a fraud going on, I mean, this is something, again, Congress should be doing, but they're too busy investigating their president of the United States, the man who is in office there. They're far too busy with that, people, than they are handling these kinds of problems. Listen, this bastion of American industry, Jim, the 737s, we're talking about Boeing now, the 737 MAX. We had the Ethiopian Airlines crash. We had a couple of these crashes now. But again, they have pilots in there with very few hours. Problem is, a lot of these planes are automated. They're automated to the point that a lot of people, you know, you don't have to do anything to get from point A to point B. You just press buttons. There are people in the industry who've talked against this for some time that, you know, we're losing that basic human instinct. And pilots not knowing what to do when danger does hit or arises. And I wonder what that means for the future. But back to the Boeing 737, Jim, what kind of a problem is this, and how concerned should people be in flying?
Well, you know, Boeing has come up with some fixes to the automatic systems. They can't make it idiot-proof. You have to have pilots that know how to fly. These aircraft are what they call fly-by-wire. It's not like the old biplanes where you pull on the stick and it makes the wings, the ailerons and the rudder go up and down. It's all computer controlled. Without computers, they won't fly. And this is not something new. Airbus pioneered the fly-by-wire in commercial aviation back with their 320, 330, and 350 systems. They've had multiple instances of the same type with the Airbus aircraft. 330s that owned by Qantas Airlines, Almost three of those went in the ground, but the pilots, because they were experienced air crews, saved those airplanes. They actually lost a couple of them to smaller airlines. And when that happened, they put out aviation bulletins about the issues, and they didn't ground 660 Airbus A330s that were flying. This whole thing with Boeing, there's never been a crash with one with an experienced air crew. I mean, like you say, this pilot, co-pilot, 200 hours behind the seat. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I want to talk about a very interesting article up on the front page of America Out Loud, friends. It's a Susan Price has up there, and it's about our national parks. Very, very interesting. Could America's 59 national parks be a cover-up for covert government operations surrounding missing persons? Now, when you hear the title of that, you scratch your head and wonder, what does that really mean? Well, let me explain it to you here real briefly, and I'll have Susan explain it better even. So there's over 650,000 individuals. That's a lot of people, my friends. These are people that went missing in 2017 alone in our national parks. That's crazy, Susan Price. I mean, what are they doing? What's going on? Where are the people going?
There's an investigative former detective, David Pilates, who has been working on these cases for many years. What has happened was there were families and rangers coming to David asking for their help because there's no federal database. That isn't that something right there with that many people missing in our national park systems and coming to him for help with disturbing stories. So he did the investigations on just thousands and thousands of cases and found that people have been missing and there's no explanation for most of them. Now there's a few because of the elements or whatever.
Right.
But these missing persons happen in clusters, and most of them, a great deal of them, in Yosemite National Park.
Right, I've seen that. You know, you almost think, what comes to my mind, Susan, it almost sounds like there's a black hole in the forest, you know?
Exactly,
I mean, very, very weird. Jim, what do you make of this story? Because it's definitely out there. But I haven't heard a squawk about this anywhere. But if these numbers are accurate, Jim, this is you talk about an epidemic or a problem. Forget the airlines and the cars. Let's look at the forests.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. I guess a lot of these people really aren't being looked for by any relatives or anything. You know, are these, X-Files, UFO abductions, talk about experimental labs hidden away,
right,
military installations places. What's going on? You know, this is, good thing we don't know everything the government is doing to us.
Well, we don't, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. You're right. Be careful of what you don't know, I guess they say, people, you know. Listen, there's a lot of links in that article on America Out Loud that Susan has in there at the bottom of that with videos and YouTube references and other things you can read or watch and find out yourself. It is a fascinating story. I thought it was worth bringing it to you so that you're aware of it at least. Friends, there's a lot you need to be aware of, and that's the point of this whole show. It's the point of our platform. I need you to go to AmericaOutLoud.com. The front page is definitely hopping. You can see it all there on the front page. There's a lot of news and information. It continues to change throughout the day, every day. It's a great source for millions now that get their information, their news, and their inspiration, if you will, as well. It's all there right at AmericaOutLoud.com. Big thank you here, as always, to Susan Price, Jim McKay. Friends, what we'll do next, socialism on the rise. And what about this war on coal with Trump? Earth Day coming right up. So is Dr. J. Lair. More Viewpoint in just a minute.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. The question I ask you, is American exceptionalism at a historic juncture in our lives? Socialism is on the rise, clearly. I mean, we're seeing that in all points of conversation here. So that's one of the topics I want to take up next. I'm going to talk about this war on coal that went on and what Trump did with that. And also Earth Day. Did you know Earth Day is upon us? And what does that mean to you and I? Let's find out. I want you to welcome on here Dr. Jay Lehrer. Dr. Jay is a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition. He's the former science director of the Heartland Institute. He's a columnist here at America Out Loud. Okay, Dr. Jay, I want to start. It's good to have you on, buddy. And I want to talk about this. I'm going to start, believe it or not, with Earth Day. That's just because it happens to be Monday, April 22nd. And initially, this is focused on species extinction the focus is what they say of this particular Earth Day this year. But when you start to look further, they're blaming all of that again on climate change. In fact, let me read you this quote here. The unprecedented global destruction and rapid reduction of plant and wildlife populations are directly linked to causes driven by human activity, climate change. So, all right, so listen, what's the biggest deal here? Is there truth to that narrative or not?
You know, usually the radical environmental people have a shred of truth in the bold claims they make, which are generally false. There is not a shred of truth in the statement you just read. It is probably the biggest single lie I've ever seen them put out widely around the country with regard to Earth Day. I'm kind of glad that their theme this year is not just man-caused climate change by carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels. So I'm glad they moved over to to species extinction. But they have chosen a statement that is an entire lie. You could not find a single species of plant or animal, amphibian, fish, what have you, that has gone extinct as a result of man using fossil fuels to supply energy to their world. And in fact, there is no major extinction going on at all. There's always new species coming and going. Man has had a role in it. We've overfished. We've
exactly
in some areas. Sometimes large animals just don't have enough reproductive capacity to survive. So there are many changes, but you could not find a single one of nearly 10 million species on our planet that man-caused climate change has had anything to do with.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You took the words right out of my mouth, Jay. I was going to say, I mean, I'm sure man is responsible for some things, clearly, and you just said, because you follow a lot of those stories of what's happening to our ocean environment is a perfect example. But I think I agree with you to blame it on, you know, the fossil fuels and the way we live, and I think seems to be a stretch.
Well, it is. And on the other side of the coin, we have become such a conservation-focused nation, we are responsible for dramatic increases in white-tailed deer, in moose, in blue whales, in wolves. I mean, we've done a phenomenal job looking after...
We're doing that here, but what about other countries, Jay? They're not doing that.
Yes, they really are.
Are they?
We've seen animal conservation grow really across the entire world.
Really?
The whole world is really concerned properly with the environment. I go back, Earth Day began because the Cuyahoga River lit on fire in 1978, and I'm just a few hours south of there, and it was indicative of all kinds of crud flowing into the river, and a spark from a railroad train going over a trestle lit the river on fire, and it really made us all environmentally conscious, and that's been a good thing. Unfortunately, the more radical environmentalists have taken this to try to eliminate capitalism and turn us into a socialist world, which has never worked. You can only have socialism by using force, holding a gun to people's heads to have all equality and not allow people that are smarter and more productive to rise up the ladder.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes the statement you just made, whether it, I mean, that's a big statement. I get it. But is it always that point, Jay, or could it just be ignorance? I mean, do they really not know?
Malcolm, there are three elements to society that keep this thing moving.
Right.
One of the elements are knowingly evil, knowing people that I think they have psychological problems and they take it out on the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And then there is a second component, which is exactly what you described, people that just don't know.
That's
and
right.
They believe everything they read and hear.
Exactly.
And then there's a third component that realize they can take economic advantage of the radical things the environmentalists put forward. The majority of Fortune 500 companies that are totally capitalist will try to look green and take advantage of the things the environmental zealots are putting out to sell more product. They are dishonest. They are not ignorant.
Yeah, that is well said, buddy. That is well said. I cannot argue with anything you just put out there. And I think that is part of the problem when you break it into those three categories there and you look at people. I think, you know, best advice, stop listening and reading to a lot of the stuff you're doing out there, because that's the best advice I have, Jay, to folks, is they read it because, you know, it's the old saying, remember, well, it was in the newspaper. It must be true. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We believe. My grandmother used to tell me that, Jay, you know.
You know, Malcolm, I'm working across the country lecturing to groups everywhere. And right. I give them a question. I say, you know, how would you like it if you could have an extra half hour in your day? And they say, well, that would be great. And I say, well, stop watching local television news.
That's it.
All local television news just focuses on negative things that just make you feel bad. And so you're right. I mean, people just buy into stuff they read and hear without doing their own research.
Yeah, Jay, that is so. It's not just local news, but it is clearly the national news as well. But your point is taken clearly. Listen, Jay, and truth be told to everybody, I've scouts on it, God's honor right now to you. I do not watch the local news. I gave it up, Jay, probably about 10, 15 years ago, quite frankly. Okay? It's been a long time for me.
Malcolm, I am shocked to hear you say that, because that's exactly what happened to my wife and I. We literally turned our house into a no news house. We are the same as you. We watch no local or national news. We choose publications that we have confidence in.
Exactly.
I read the Wall Street Journal cover to cover every day. It's not as good as it was before Rupert Murdoch took it over. It's become a little more liberal, but I still get the areas I work in that are medicine and nutrition, environment, energy, climate. I still find the best information in that paper. And then, of course, I read all the original journals from which they get their information.
Yeah, yeah. We're filling that void, Jay, of bringing real conversation. Like today, a viewpoint, Jay, is a no, it's a no Mueller zone today. So no Mueller zone today. You didn't know that, Jay, did you?
I did not know that.
So in the top of the news today, it's a no Mueller zone. What do you say to that, buddy?
I love that, because that's where I am too. I mean, the last couple of days, I have stopped reading anything that has his name in it.
That's exactly it. No. See, so take it from us. This is, and I'm a news guy. You see, this is what I do. I mean, I breathe and think this stuff, and I'm always on the news, but I want to impact things in a positive way. Hey, listen, speaking about the Wall Street Journal, you had sent me an article the other day, which I found most fascinating. Socialism fails every time. And it goes back, and I like this for a few different reasons, Jay, but it says that, I just want to read this, self-described socialist Bernie Sanders has become a favorite of young voters by posing as an apostle of a daring new ideas. Socialism, however, it's anything but new. I love the way that article starts, actually, Jay, where it talks about this is not new. And it goes on to point out the historical point in very layman terms. You can read this quick read, and it's a very layman terms for what it will tell you, how bad they have failed before in history. At one point, friends, like I think it was, Jay, a third of the population of the world was locked into communism, when Russia was pulling all those countries down the Yellow Brick Road, as you remember. And there's like, there were like 18 countries and a third of mankind was locked into socialism and communist things. None of it worked. Jay, what's the attraction now? Why are these people talking this nonsense?
Well, they're told lies that basically they're told that they'll be the equivalent of people they envy, that maybe are smarter or have more money, that If you don't have a lot and you haven't worked hard and you haven't been productive, you see that you're being raised up to the level of the people you envy without having to do any extra work. So it's really a Pied Piper kind of story that you're led along by somebody promising something that really can never happen. The human mind will not allow everybody to be equal. It will not allow people that want to work harder and are smarter to be held down by people who don't want to work as hard and don't want to work to become smarter. And so the only way it can be managed is by force. And that has been the case throughout history. It always ends up in tyranny. I was very lucky in college, my God, 65 years ago, to read two books that make me understand that. One was Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. The other was 1984, An Animal Farm by George Orwell. Those two books, though fictional, really explained the total failure of socialism and communism and really set me on a path of my conservative capitalistic philosophy really before the age of 20.
I mean, you know, when you think of big government and the NSA and big spying and cameras everywhere, we're headed down that road. I mean, try just riding down the street and not being captured by a camera somewhere. It doesn't happen. They're everywhere. You know,
years ago, I wrote an editorial about 1984. Oh, yeah. And in fact, I think I wrote the editorial in 1994. And I said, you know, Orwell was totally right about predicting what you just described. He mm-hmm. just had the year wrong. It didn't happen in 84, but it was certainly moving in 94. But the problem is our school system has not taught the benefits of our great democracy and our capitalist society. So the kids graduating from high school do not come out with any fear of socialism. They really have to be re-educated to the tyranny that it's produced around the world.
You know, speaking of all the socialism business, I want to get your opinion, Jay, on the the 2020 race is coming pretty quick. We talked about it in the opening top stories of the segment with all the Democratic candidates and all. But socialism is a piece of the conversation, which, again, truth be told, I never thought we'd be talking about this in a presidential race. It's hard to fathom. I think back as a young lad, I think back as reading 1984, and I also remember as a kid reading that there was a Communist Party in America, and always kind of shook my head as to what does that really mean? Like, that's not really America, is it? But they were always sort of on the outskirts, but it was sort of like they were in the closet, Jay. They weren't out in the open. Well, now, like everything else in the nation, it's out in the open. There's nothing in the closet anymore. Everybody's bringing their dirty laundry out or whatever they got and throwing it out in the public square. And we're supposed to accept that. And if we don't accept it, well, then you're politically correct to people take over and they jam it down your throat. So my question is, right now with Donald Trump in the presidency and we see what capitalism is doing with the economy and all, Jay, and you see the candidates lining up against that, what are we really looking at? Because I got to tell you, Jay, truth be told, I feel like we're in an Alice in Wonderland moment. I just get the sense we're right near the rabbit hole somewhere. What gives?
Well, I think you're exactly right. And the article I sent you that you just described on socialism, I sent to five friends who have had direct contact with the president in recent years. And I've recommended to them that the primary theme of the presidential election should be Mr. Trump explaining to the unknowing world what socialism really is, what it has failed to accomplish, the tyranny that's provided, and make the public recognize that everybody who will be running against him essentially wants to destroy capitalism, our way of life, and install a socialistic system, whatever words they want to use. So I really think he needs to be a teacher of
political. That's a great point.
And I think he'll win more votes that way than any other way.
That is phenomenal advice, I got to tell you, because that would really set it on fire right there. Trump talked of utilizing all of America's energy resources during his campaign for the presidency. In fact, that's how he picked up a lot of states in the Midwest. And so, Jay, the Clean Air Act was passed in the 1970s, and it changed the industry and the narrative, or did it? Because, you know, President Obama's anti-coal crusade was basically was a fallacy that carbon dioxide emissions, coal-fired power plants were the major cause of the world blowing up and dying. And the kids believe this. Talk about that for a moment so people get it from 30,000 feet, but this war on coal and what and how we've changed that in the energy resources of America.
Well, let me first tell you that coal is still the primary energy source around the world. Amidst all of that, we were always called the Saudi Arabia of coal. We have the most coal resources of any other country in the world, and it's one of the reasons that we move so far ahead economically. But the environmentalist latching on to the carbon dioxide emissions and the global warming were tried to make coal evil. Now, the only evil part of coal was in the old days when we mined coal, it was a very dangerous. I mean, people literally died of black lung disease. Well, OSHA has totally cleaned up the way we mine coal. There is no longer such a hazard or a danger. We mine it safely. We now burn it with way less emissions. Carbon dioxide was never an emission problem, but there were other chemical emissions when we burn coal, and we've eliminated them. We put scrubbers in our smokestack that eliminate these things. So we now can burn coal safely 100% for human health, and that's what Trump seized upon, and we have to re-educate the public today that coal burning and coal mining of today is not the way it was in yesteryear. The rest of the world went forward. They never backed off of coal. The Chinese, while they have talked about wind and solar, they build literally, Malcolm, they build a new coal-fired power plant every single week of the year. And coal is growing. Yeah. In fact, our coal industry in the United States has been partially saved by the fact that we export a huge amount of our coal all over the world. But we do have to re-educate the public to the fact that we sit on the greatest energy resource regarding coal in the entire world, and that it can be used safely and have no negative impacts whatsoever today.
Energy independent, when we heard those words, and I've heard them for a long time, can America ever be energy independent? And the ramifications of this in politics is huge, because this is a lot of our tie-in to the Middle East. A lot of people don't understand. A lot of the engagements we've had have been for, you know, for energy and for our own security and prosperity. And we've gotten engaged in a lot of conflicts and a lot of situations throughout the world based on energy. But I think that's a lack of leadership in our country, Jay, is what I'm going to say to you. But America has always had the potential to be energy independent, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And you stated the right words. It was a lack of leadership to recognize our vast resources and use them. But this year, Malcolm, 2019, for the first time, we are now a net exporter of energy, and all those kind of wars that people and little things going around the world that people blamed on our trying to maintain our ability to use fuel from other countries, that's over. I mean, we'll always trade fuel with different countries. I mean, there'll never be a time where we don't import some as well as export some. But we are clearly today energy independent. We do not need to bring energy in from outside the world. We are a net energy exporter, and it's just going to get better and better. We're not talking about something that's going to last a few decades. It's going to last a few centuries. And someday, I think probably within 1,000 years, the world will all run on nuclear power, but it's not something we have to worry about for many centuries.
Dr. Jay Lehrer, you know, it is always just a privilege, pleasure to talk to you, buddy, you know, on every level, you know.
It is for me too, Malcolm. I've just enjoyed our opportunity to chat, and I look forward to many more in the future.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, we talk even before we started the program up today off the mic about health and lifestyle and what Dr. Jay does to stay healthy. You would never guess, friends, with the gentleman you just heard, I think he will be okay if I say this, is a young 82 years old. Okay.
I'm proud to be that. I've never been in a real doctor's office. I made up my mind at the age of 20 that being healthy and fit were my top priority. Obviously, a little luck involved. I probably had a few good genes, but I don't think anybody. I'm an Ironman triathlete, but I stopped competing 2 years ago because there's no one else in my age group. It's no more fun to win a race when you're the only one in it.
Yeah. Now, well, the health and lifestyle part and living a healthy life is something I'm going to promise you all right now. I'm going to do with Dr. J and I are going to do a whole segment on this. I assure you, it's going to be good fun. I have a personal invested interest myself in wanting to stay young, people. Friends, stay right there as Viewpoint rolls on.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Pat Boone here for the folks at Swiss America. Rock solid foundations are vital in life, in business, and in finance, because in the end, only what we've built on a firm foundation will withstand the storms of life. Today, the economic storms are raging and the foundations of everything are being tested. The world economy has never looked shakier. And gold, the world's oldest and most trusted form of money, is also grabbing headlines. Now is the time to put your future on a rock-solid foundation. Swiss America will help you create an indestructible asset today. Discover the timeless truth about gold and silver by calling Swiss America or visiting online at SwissAmerica.com.
800-978-3901. Once again, that's 800-978-3901.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends, and I want to remind everybody that it is Easter weekend. It is a time to rejoice and step back. As I said at the top of the broadcast, Easter is hope, it's love, it's a rebirth of all that is life, friends. And my wish to you, may you be blessed and bless others along the journey of life. And that is whatever that means. I hope you'll take that internally and make your life all that it can be. Happy Easter to everyone here. I want to get on to talking about some interesting things that are going on in the nation right now. Anti-Semitism is one of the pieces of conversation. The fire in the Notre Dame Cathedral, what had taken place there. And a lot of our symbols actually around the world that are clearly being threatened. And certainly here in America, there's been a real movement to tear everything down and to bury history. It's a strange thing. You know, history was always designed to teach us something. You know, you want to know where you're going in the future, you'd look at the past. And but that doesn't seem to be the way it is anymore. Let's get on with it here. And please welcome on here, Terry Beatley is here. Terry is president of Hosea Initiative. Well, Hosea Initiative, their goal is to protect the unborn. Her book and her show on America Out Loud, friends, are entitled What If We've Been Wrong? This is a great book. You must read it. You can go to the Amazon bookstore or America Out Loud bookstore. Wherever you go, just get it and read up more about that with Terry. You'll catch her every day at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can hear her anywhere in the world on the America Out Loud apps or iHeartRadio or many different places. You can connect with us there, friends. Again, Terry focuses on crushing the lies of Marxism, socialism, progressivism, and she doesn't mince her words, friends. Joining us for the first time on the program, happy to have here David Wilbur. David is, I love this, he's a Bible teacher. I love that. He's a speaker, an author, and a couple of books I want to read to you. When Faith Works, Living Out the Law of Liberty, According to James, and A Christian Guide to the Biblical Feast. You'll find those also in the America Out Loud bookstore, friends. David is a weekly columnist here on America Out Loud, and he's doing some pretty awesome work up front. I want to start right there, actually, David, with you and talk about, okay, so every week you put your truth out there, I think in a very interesting way. And this particular week, it was the left's dishonest strategy to silence criticism. Now, everybody is aware that Representative Omar came out and she gave a speech at CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations now. This is an anti-Israel organization, anti-life, anti a lot of things, in which she was minimizing the 9/11 terror attack in a very interesting way, that she said, like, some people did something. Some people did something. Those were the words she used. Well, God, tell you what, those words were loud. They were really loud to everybody. Like, why would she say that, right? Well, a lot of people could draw some lines and tell you why she would say that. But, all right, David, so she puts that out there. You know, right away, you know, if this was something that critical that was said on the right, the left would have condemned them and buried them in a heartbeat. But yet, you didn't hear that back from the other side, did you?
No, not at all. First of all, Malcolm, thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor to be with you. It was just strange. You know, it seems like every other week there is a huge controversy surrounding this congresswoman. And I wrote a piece the previous week on Ilhan Omar as well. And I just had a crazy thought, because everyone's trying to figure out, why is there so much controversy? Like, why is she, why are people so upset about all of these different things that she's saying all of the time? And I had a crazy thought that maybe the fact that people are criticizing her is that she's not actually a very good person. I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but maybe the fact that the reason she's being criticized for her anti-Semitism and her anti-American sentiments is that she's an anti-Semite and she has anti-American sentiments. But anyway, that was just a crazy thought, I know.
Calling a duck for a duck. Is that what you're trying to do, buddy?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if it quacks like a duck, yeah. You know. But in either case, yeah, so she made these comments. She gave the speech before CARE, in which, as you said, she trivialized the deadliest terrorist attack in American history as an event where some people did something. That was how she described the deadliest terror attack in American history. And so, of course, Americans were rightly upset about this, and they criticized her. And eventually, President Donald Trump himself, he criticized her by basically tweeting a video. It was a video of her speech where she used those words, where she trivialized the 9/11. Mm-hmm. And that it was footage of that speech juxtaposed with footage of 9/11.
From 9/11, yeah.
Right, so it was footage of her speech juxtaposed with the event that she was referring to.
Yeah, so the president put that out there on the Twitter feed, David, as you say. Terry, right. This is where a lot of people, Terry, don't know how to take President Trump, because, you know, He doesn't leave a lot to the imagination. He would really be, he knows all about what the out loud truth is. He's not politically correct. It's just like, you know, I got to tell you, Terry, when the whole, by the way, today is a Mueller-free zone. We're not talking about that topic today on this newscast whatsoever. But when that thing happened, whatever that thing was last week, you know, he put out a game over with the Thrones thing. And it was like, oh, what president would do that? Like, they were like aghast at like, but that's what he is, Terry. He's very unorthodox, isn't he now?
Well, and I love his boldness, and it's exactly what we need for this time. And, you know, call a duck, a spade, let's just call the Democrat Party out for what it is. It is now completely 100% a socialist Marxist representative party. And what they're doing is what they do best. They use women. So they use women all sorts of ways over the past, you know, 20, 30 years. Now they're using these minority women because, oh my gosh, could we dare criticize Muslim, you know, minority congresswoman? Well, guess what? Yes, we can. And we can criticize her right on back to her Muslim country because she doesn't love America. She doesn't love freedom. She doesn't love capitalism. She hates Christianity, and she's going to do, and her people are going to do, her followers, do what they've already declared. They want Sharia law over our country. And so I say, wake up, Americans. And so I'm actually thankful that people like Omar and these I don't even like to call them left-wing. Let's call them what they are. Okay. I mean, they want Sharia law. So they've gone so far that they will awaken the sleeping giant.
Yeah. Terry, I'm going to tell you something right now. When you say what you say, I totally endorse that in this way. When I now put, I'm not trying to be funny. I just do what you just say, call them out for who they are. So what I do now, when I reference the Democrat Party, because John F. Kennedy's party is long gone, they're never coming back. But I call it the Marxist, I stop with socialists actually, socialist, radical Marxist party. That's what I call them. That's what it is, Terry. You're exactly right. And I call it what it is. If you don't want that label, then you need to start behaving and get in line, people. But this nonsense has got to change. It's got to stop. One last point on this, David. You hear Terry. You hear Terry puts it out there. That's why I just love to get her to opine, because she gives it from her heart and her truth. The fact that Omar, Representative Omar, rose to power, and that she is, and she's not the only one that's in the loony farm that we call Congress, okay? Mm-hmm. But she's there.
You know, she's openly, you know, criticized, you know, Jewish people. She had controversial tweets about how Israel has hypnotized the world. You know, oh, those scary Jews, they, with their scary, deceptive, magical, hypnotic power, they're you know, Israel's controlling everybody. And that is blatantly anti-Semitic, things like that. Or how American support for Israel is, quote, all about the Benjamins, which is, you know, a reference to a rap song about $100 bills. And the implication is that these scary Jews are buying political support for Israel with all of their dirty Jew money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Democrats, they try to defend these blatant anti-Semitic tropes by saying, oh, well, no, she's just criticizing Israel. You know, she's against Israel and Israeli policy and the Israeli government. Well, no, not at all. She there is nothing in what she said that is a criticism of Israel. And she would be wrong in her criticism of Israel anyway, but that's not the point. She's not criticizing Israel. She's using anti-Semitic tropes.
The Muslims who adhere to Sharia law, it is in direct, it will be a direct assault on American liberty when these people, yeah, more and more of them, get into political positions. Why? Because those are the people who make the bills who turn into law. And I just go back. So I don't know how you were, I don't know. As God gives us government. God gives us government. So as Christians, it is incumbent upon us to speak up, speak out, and speak the truth, or we lose freedom, we lose our country. Okay. And the irony of all this, and I've been saying this for a number of years, I don't care if people think I'm a whack job or not. I remember going to a Palin rally, and I had a sign, "Stop socialism now." That's before the word socialism was commonly used. And people kind of looked at my sign like, huh, what, you know, what? Then you look at Bernie Sanders, who's an unapologetic socialist. I think it's important that even, you know, we use this word socialist, we need to use the right word.
Radical Marxist.
The right word is
radical Marxist.
Well, radical Marxists, they are communists.
Communists.
And the communists have been in our country for decades.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everyone, you know, you hear some professors and they think, oh, no, Marxism, that's all dead. No, it didn't. It went underground.
All right. I want to switch gears. I want to talk to you both here. Terry, I want to stay with you a minute and talk about the Notre Dame Cathedral here, 856-year-old mm-hmm. cathedral here in Paris, France. And what had taken place there is unbelievable. I mean, you talk about a destructive fire. I mean, the whole thing was almost decimated. They were able to get a lot of the relics and a lot of the valuable historical monuments, but the structure itself is heavily, they're talking maybe 5 billion to some estimates go as high as 10 billion. They've already raised a billion. What do you think about this? And I got to tell you one thing, Terry, as soon as this happened, mm-hmm. there were a lot of videos and a lot of memes running across social media where they had, again, I don't know any truth to this. They say it was an accident. It came from an electrical thing, what have you. But there were a lot of videos and pictures circulating where they had, again, looked like Muslims at the top there doing something to the, and of course they've been, really, it's been a war in Europe on all the churches. That's been an ongoing war. They've been burning the churches throughout Europe. I mean, that's just a given fact. You think that's just, we don't really know if that's true or not. Is that just gossip, or have you heard anything different than that, or what do you think?
Well, I mean, there are many, many churches, I mean, dozens, or is it up now into the hundreds that have been attacked? You know, I think the big message, though, that comes out of France and Europe and really Western society with the burning of Notre Dame, it's we've taken our eyes off of God. And most people don't even know why the cathedrals were built the way they were built back then, with those big Gothic arches and then the beautiful rose windows. It was to cast our gaze toward heaven, cast our gaze toward God, to keep that connection with the Lord. And now look what Western society's done. I mean, we've squandered so much truth, we've squandered so much beauty, and it's burning almost as a reminder. I'm so thankful it didn't burn to the ground.
Well, they say we were within 10 minutes of that burning to the ground, totally being done with, David. I mean, what's your take on that? What sort of repercussions does that fire have into the Christian community, David? And what, and back to the cause, and you think there's any funny business there, or do you think it's all what we hear?
Well, regarding the cause, investigators say that they have found no sign of arson from what I've been able to tell. But the strange thing to me is that you have this silence on part of the press. There's no speculation, no wild speculation or anything on part of the press regarding this this burning, this blaze. And yet the press speculates about everything else, including the report that is not
that we don't talk about today, right, David?
the report not to be named. So all kinds of wild, crazy speculation and conspiracy theories. The press loves that stuff, and yet they're strangely silent about this. And you've got to kind of wonder why. Like, why is no one asking questions? Like, what? Why is no one questioning the authorities about their investigation? And it is a symbol of, Western values, which are built upon Judeo-Christian values. And I believe even the secular world acknowledges this. That's why the Rolling Stone, when they wrote about the burning, they talked about the Notre Dame fire as an act of liberation. So even the secular world acknowledges the symbol or what Notre Dame symbolizes, these Judeo-Christian values that we all hold dear.
Well, I heard reports, David, that Macron came out, President France came out and said something about that when they rebuild it, he wants to make it a place for all religions and all people and all that, or something to that way. And I don't know what exactly that means, but the way Europe has been going down that road, God only knows what the rebuilding of that cathedral will be. You know what I mean? It's God only knows, huh? First of all, let me just say big thank you here to Terry Beatley, David Wilbur here, friends. I think there is a point in time we need to all step back, friends, and look at what's really going on out there. When David points out about the media, that's, you all should be on to that by this point. I mean, the conversation gets old at some point, people. Like Dr. Jay Lair said earlier, don't watch the local news. We stopped watching local news 10 to 15 years ago, people. We no longer partake in it, okay? Just as much as we don't watch a lot of the national programs any further. So we're very selective about what we put into our brains. We don't partake in the social media madness, the evil and the hate out there. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing on this particular day. Let's all step back a minute, take a deep breath, and look at what really matters in life. That's what I think is most important. Let's all do that, please. Let's take a look. Just take a deep breath. See what's really going on here. Friends, I want to invite you back to your home, our home, America Out Loud. It is an environment like no other. Make no mistake about it. We talk about a mission of God and a mission of worldly values. Well, you'll find them there at America Out Loud, as you'll see a lot of the write-ins and the columns and the brilliant bloggers from around the globe that grace that platform. You know, it's been amazing how this thing has really arose over the past 3 years. Still really new. We're new in terms of media, but it's a very interesting cycle. It's an Out Loud movement, friends. Thank you, as always, for joining us here on this program on Viewpoint. Happy Easter to all. Friends, the Out Loud truth continues back at AmericaOutLoud.com.